Welcome to Walking in His Word, everybody. Coming at you from Cornerstone Church in Highland, Michigan. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, everybody who's listening. I don't know who's listening, but
Be evening, too, when they're listening, I guess.
That's true. It could be. Man, we're glad you're here. We're glad you're listening.
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you're having a thrifty Thursday today.
Oh, man. That's the best. The best.
I hope you're having a thankful Thursday today.
That's the best, too.
just so much of the best.
I was writing a message last week for Wednesday night.
Okay.
And I preached the part two of that message actually last night too. But I was writing this particular message I was writing last week and I preached it last Wednesday night. It's this message, that series that I just finished up called The Path to Success.
Yeah.
And week one, I looked into how often the people of God had to cross a river.
Okay.
There was always a river involved.
Yeah.
Really a lot. And, oh, yeah. And it had a huge pivotal point. And then I noticed something too, because there was a river, they also crossed the sea.
Yeah.
There was all these instances too. Jesus got baptized in a river. You know, Moses floated down a little basket as a baby in a river.
Yeah.
Like all these river instances. And I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me as I was writing this message last week. And I preached it, and I said it when I preached it. But I noticed something, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, not a single person drowned crossing the river.
Wow.
And I realized that, yeah, there's not a single drowning. There's not a single instance of anybody drowning in a river.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, and then if you study out rivers a little bit more in the Bible— and you know this already, but I'm going to say it, and you're going to realize you already knew it. But the river is the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's what it represents. It represents the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament.
Yeah,
and the Holy Spirit always takes care of us.
Man, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
And here's the thing: is there's a lot of people out there right now that have kind of a river crossing.
Yeah,
and they're very nervous, and their mind fearfully goes to the worst possible outcome, which is death.
Right.
But let me really encourage you out there. The way the Holy Spirit encouraged me, and what I preached last Wednesday night, is that not a single person ever drowned in the river.
That's so good.
And God's got you. Mm-hmm. God will get you through. Let's go to the message.
Let's do it.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says this: do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicate. Now, let's look at this list. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, that's good. They're sinners, right? They're not going to enter into heaven as sinners. And then he says, and such were some of you. What? You mean the ones that were in the Corinthian church? They were the unrighteous ones? They were the fornicators and the adulterers and the homosexuals? They were the thieves and the covetous and the drunkards and the extortioners? They were those kind of people? Yes. God saved them. Those are the type of people that God called. And such were some of you. And may we say that today as we look at the congregation, me included, that there I am in that list. And such were some of you. But listen what God does. But you were washed in the blood, forgiven. You were sanctified. That means made holy. And you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Justified. That means God declared you righteous simply by faith in Jesus Christ. Declared you righteous, made holy, covered your sins. God did it. God did it. He did it according to the Spirit of our God. Thank God for the Spirit of God, for the anointing of God, for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It's God that makes the difference in our life. Somebody say amen to that. So just like Gideon, we are unqualified. You might ask this question, why does God call the unqualified? Well, let me give you four reasons. Number one, to bring glory to himself. Number two, to keep the message simple. You know, the Apostle Paul, he said this, man, I just determined to know just Jesus Christ and him crucified and resurrected. I didn't come to you with all this wisdom and all this worldly knowledge, but I just came with a simple gospel. Christ died, was buried, and rose again. Be saved. To keep the message simple. So God calls the unqualified. He calls those that have to trust in the Lord. And so those that are truly called of the Lord, they come and they're not bringing themselves. They're not bringing all their wisdom and all their talents to bear, but rather they've been humbled because God would dare call them, and they keep the message simple. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's always Jesus. It's simply Jesus. Look to Jesus. Jesus saves. Look to Jesus. So God calls the unqualified to bring glory to himself, to keep the message simple, to prompt reliance on God and not people. You know, when God called Gideon, you know, they're not trusting in Gideon. They're not trusting in Gideon. They're not trusting in that man. He's the fearful one, right? They're trusting in the God that has spoken, called, equipped, and empowered this man. You see, it causes people to prompt reliance on God and not people. And finally, why is God called and qualified? To fill us with his power. Because when you know you're unqualified, you become dependent on the Lord and you say, oh God, I need you. And he says, in your weakness, I will be strong. And he fills you with his strength. Praise the Lord. God calls the unqualified. Gideon was called, but he was unqualified. But then God qualifies the called, and that's exactly what he did with Gideon. Gideon was turned into that mighty man of valor by the Lord. He qualifies the called. Got this quote out of Hebrews chapter 11. How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon. Notice it didn't say, I want to tell you about Gideon's personal strengths and talents that he had. And how God was lucky that he made himself available because he was so strong and mighty in himself. He says, I want to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God has promised them. They shut the mouth of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Well, I see Gideon. You know, I've read through the life of Gideon and his struggles and his conquest, and that's exactly what God did. Gideon believed God, and God did a miracle through him. He turned his weakness to strength. He made him strong in battle. He put whole armies to flight. He received promises, right? All that happened because he had faith in Jesus. So God qualified Gideon. He called the unqualified. He qualified the called. That's how it goes. That's how it went with him. That's how it goes with us. That's how it goes with us. How does God qualify us? Number one, by giving us his spirit. And Judges chapter 6, verse 12, the Lord tells Gideon, the Lord is with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. And may I say this, if you know the Lord, he has put his spirit on the inside of you. And we are not alone. We are not alone. The Lord is with us. The Lord is on the inside of us. The Lord is with us. He goes before us. He's behind us. He's our rear guard. He's our strength. And he's our power. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. And that's how God qualifies us, by giving us his Spirit. It is by the Spirit of the Lord that we are forgiven. It is by the Spirit of the Lord that we are saved. It is by the Spirit of the Lord that we are called. It is by the Spirit of the Lord that we are empowered. It is by the Spirit of the Lord that we have victories. It is by the Spirit of the Lord that we are transformed. It is by the Spirit of the Lord that we accomplish anything in the eyes of God and before the people of this world. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing, but certainly we are not without him. We have him, and therefore all things are possible. Amen. Somebody say amen to that. All things are possible. So God qualifies us by giving us his Spirit. And by, number two, giving us a new identity. Judges chapter 6, verse 12, the Lord just spoke this. You mighty man of valor. You know, every warrior, every soldier of Christ fights the inner fear of failure. What if I step out and it doesn't work? What if I sink? What if I'm defeated? What if my dreams or my goals are not realized? What if I believe the Lord spoke and it doesn't happen? We have that inner fear of failure.
Every one of us has to face this idea of the fear of failure.
Yeah.
Pastor, you were talking about the message that you preached last week on Wednesday, and I was actually thinking about the message that I preached to the teenagers last week on Wednesday. And last week I preached a message, I called it, You Got This, Because God's Got You. Hmm. And was really doing a lot of study about the how the Holy Spirit lives in us and how that power affects us. And I was reading in Romans chapter 8, and in Romans 8, Paul talks all about you no longer have to live as a slave to sin. You don't have to give in to these evil desires. You don't have to give in to the fear anymore. Hmm. He said, and the reason why is because the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. That's that verse, the whole context of it, mm-hmm. is that Paul is saying, you don't have to live like you used to live anymore. You don't have to live in fear and shame and giving into your evil desires. You can live in the new power of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And I think this that really ties into this idea that we all have that fear of, even as Christians,
yeah.
we have this fear of, what if I'm not good enough? What if I mess up? What if they say no? What if I thought God said something and he didn't and I mess it up?
Yeah.
And we live, even though we have the Spirit of God in us, we can still go back to that old state of living in fear. And we have to get to a place where we are courageous enough or confident enough in who God says that he is, that even if I mess up, God's not too worried about my mistake.
No.
He's like, I'm still going to work even when I mess up. God's still going to work even when I mess up.
Yeah.
And that gives me courage to step out and be even more bold and say, well, God, I feel like this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm just going to go do it. And yeah. and I'm going to leave the results in your hands.
Fear of failure paralyzes people.
Yeah.
And kind of gets them thinking and acting irrational.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fear does.
Yeah.
And the Bible is clear on this, and preachers preach it all the time. Failure is not final.
Yeah.
Which is you're feeling failure.
Right.
But failure is not final.
Right.
Never. And so I have a lot to say about this. I'm excited for our Walking His Word Friday episode.
It's going to be a great one.
Yeah, we'll be right back here tomorrow morning, everybody.
Walking in His Word.
Thank you for listening to our show today. You can find more information at our website, cornerstonehighland.com. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook. We'd love to see you at church one day. Please do not be a stranger.